Well, we're off to the proms next tonight. It's time for Georgia Mann to introduce another of our Proms Plus late sessions, recorded last week at the Royal Albert Hall in the Elgar Room.
Proms Plus Late, where, for the first time this season, we are bringing together the twin graces of song and poetry in beautiful alignment with a little bit of help from the Elgar Room's shiny red piano upstairs at the Royal Albert Hall. Versifying for us this evening is Aaron Warner, whose poetry has been described as both funny and disconcerting, which we like, and his first collection earned him comparisons in the press to both Ted Hughes and Tom Gunn, so not bad going as you embark on a career in poetry. Our songstress this evening is Dublin-born Lauren Kinsella, who has been tipped as a rising star by The Guardian, who won the prestigious Kenny Wheeler Jazz Prize earlier this year, and who the Evening Standard actually rhapsodised about her fearless approach to vocal improvising, which we will be hearing plenty of tonight. And accompanying her at the Ruby Red Piano, we have Dan Nichols, who is part of the acclaimed Loop Collective. And anyone who listens to Late Junction will have heard plenty of them there, where Fiona Talkington and team are very big fans. Dan's tickling the ivories for us tonight, but he actually produces everything from events involving dance and video and visual art. So he's a man of many talents, and we're very pleased to have him at the Elgar Room piano stool tonight. And Dan and Lauren are going to open proceedings for us now.
But it will slowly creep up. conscience. Wherever you find yourself,
I'm mostly going to read from a sequence of 20 poems called Lutèce Te Amo. Lutèce was the old Roman name for Paris. And each poem is numbered, and the number corresponds to the arrondissement of Paris, which also shares that number. I'll just read two of them now. Pretty but mad, Mademoiselle Autre had fashioned her accordion from a roc d'Écosse. A block she'd found and forced from its hole in the wall of Philippe Auguste. A stone she'd chipped and chiseled and faceted with 26 keys and pallets. A boulder she'd beveled and bound to a bellows sewn from the guts of a goat. Mademoiselle Autre, prénom Perrette, stands on the rue Tiquetonne, playing Musette with a deft bellow shake, Lulu handling the chanson. Playing Musette, melancholic, bereft, each eye a rest, each eyebrow a slur, each note miasmatic, madness sublated, gifted like love or variole majeure. And then this is number six, but it's slightly more specific. It's a specific square in the sixth. On the one hand, you have the church of Saint-Germain-des-Prés, this old beautiful church, which is now a kind of venue for kind of light classical concerts. And then on the other side, you've got Le De Magotte, which is an old cafe that used to house people like Picasso and Braque and Sartre, who turns up in this poem. And this poem, in some ways, moves between the two places. Now the cellists put their breather to profitable use, turn from Bizet or Vivaldi as the violinists soar, palms toward the audience, fingers splayed, jazz hands to add a little theatre to something that might be quelle horreur, a little exigent, a little grave for this coterie from Romford, Phoenix, Denver, having paid a pretty fee to pray before some crumbling saint to hear this thing they've heard so much about that's been touted in their brochures, what's it called? Continental culture. Tin panter carters escape to sough the air, to whiff and wisp and drift their way across the quaint medieval square, to brush against the panes of Mulberry, Vuitton, Christian Dior, to find their way inside the doors of Le Dumagot or Café de Flore, to involve this table where once upon a time Monsieur Sartre would sit, bog-eyed, smoking gitans, basking in his genius, his unfathomable wit just oozing out of him. See here, this plaque marks a smear of intellectual spunk, discharged around the time he scribbled his Cahiers pour un moral, bona fide philosopher cum, and yeah, we have a few vials left behind the bar if you'd like to take one. Every time you open the lid, it hums, que sera, sera.
Thank you.
Strange place. I've just arrived, confused. What are these strange lights? What is this strange place? From where I came. Was dark as night, revolving moon, a deep red. What is this strange place? What are these strange lights?
Lauren and Dan, thank you very much. That was Arrival Departure. We're going to hear now another sequence of poetry from Aaron.
I'm going to continue with a selection from this sequence. This is number 8. My grandfather would never buy a poppy, would never give a penny to the Legion, served his time in Burma, Sumatra, had a little box of photographs I remember from the days after he popped his clogs. Slow death, the agony of cancer. A photograph he took of Hirohito signing the surrender, others too, Modesanvalt. Here à la tombe de soldats inconnus, Africans tout tacky arcs, snow globes with golden Eiffel towers, key rings, lighters that sing the Marseillaise, posters of La Joconde. And further down the Champs-Élysées, sitting slouched on the path, an Arab teen, both legs spread across the gutter, an espresso cup for change, skeletal, one trouser leg rolled up, a limb or stump, gangrenous, the flesh softening like butter. I should say that many of these poems, apart from being connected to specific districts of Paris, also take their cue from famous photographs of Paris, normally by Doisneau or Brassailles. And this is after quite a famous photograph of a cafe in the 13th by Brassailles. Mademoiselle Tace has Monsieur Auntie Tace wrapped in the undulation of her arsis chi thesis, the rise and fall of her intonation, the syrup of her accent, the diphthongs that seem mined from some wet depth, some soft and syrup sticky inside. She can feel his hands tighten around her arse, can smell his eau de cologne, the static pooling on his skin. In the mirror, she watches herself, entites, an incidental closing in. And Monsieur Antithèse knows Mademoiselle Thèse is wrapped in his anecdotes, his wit, the perfect angle of his jaw. He can sense her ankles becoming their own tangled knot of tension. He can feel her flanks harden as she pushes herself towards him. Behind her, flowers in a vase, a mirror gilded and glistening with a thrill of his own reflection. This next poem, number 15, lifts its first and last lines from Louis MacNeice, which seemed fitting because apart from being a famous poet, he was also a BBC radio producer for most of his life. However deep, this is no river of the dead or Lethe or Rubicon, but a vast and writhing cat we fondle our way along. To where the arches span, the cluster de voûte are set, the abutments wade or bathe, to where the pont straddles, struts, pontificates between the Rive Droite et Gauche, to where the river takes its leave of Paris, passing the last in that long histoire of walls, the peripherique, heir to those of Charles Valois, Philippe Auguste, Louis the Just, a scroll of tarmac beyond which the Seine stretches its paws, flounces its tail, licks its lips and arches its back, skitters north. Elsewhere, others sleep, slumber on the banks of the Rubicon, the Nile, the Med, the Chott El Merej, where we leave Javel, bus it to the Pont de Bir Hakim, to pontificer, have non légère as way too light, to hold, to involver each other beneath les nuages, knowing that for us there will be sunlight. This is perhaps the most tenuous of poems in this sequence. It's number 18. And in Montmartre, there's this building, Le Bateau Lavoir, the washing boat, which is an old artist slum. And again, people like Braque and Modigliani used to live there. And the great artist, Chaim Soutine, never lived there. Later on, he lived in a similar building in Montparnasse, south of the river. And this poem weaves its way between those two facts. Before Soutine had left Smilovitch, had left Minsk, had left Vilnius. Long before Soutine had left Paris, left Serret, had left Paris again. Before he had left Champigny, slept rough in the forest, a Jew and Slav trying to avoid his B.A. Samp to Auschwitz. And therefore, even longer before, his hematemesis, the blood chucked up, the ulcer that ruptured the peritonitis, the covert agony of a nighttime drive northwards towards Paris, the success of avoiding the Gestapo. Thus, long before Soutine's exsanguination, the Bobo idyll of Le Bateau Lavoir, its half-starved artists, et après, Matisse, radiance of crepe, cancer smarting like a bitch.
Take her to the ground. She's half asleep, half awake, half asleep, half awake, half asleep, 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 half asleep in the in-between. State. But all of her, all of her, but all of her is present. Stairs she walks, duvet in hand, to the kitchen table, alone, 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 alone. She wants to be. Well, you're alone. Oh, Lord, last where she wants to be. She wants to be, and she wants to be. She places the duvet like the tablecloth, spread out and straight. A girl asleep. Not yet fully awake. A girl asleep. In full control. Not yet fully. Only two. Oh, it's
In full control, not yet fully awake, a girl asleep, in full control. Not yet fully awake. A girl asleep in full control. Not yet fully.
A Proms Plus Late Session recorded last week at the Royal Albert Hall's Elgar Room with the singer Lauren Kinsella, accompanied at an electronically treated piano by Dan Nichols. The poet was Aaron Warner, and it was introduced by Georgia Mam.
Original British drama on BBC Two.
You know what's special and scary about today? Tui's baby's due. How is she going to manage?
In the search for someone else, what might you uncover about yourself?
So you're on your knees? Now die to yourself. Everything you think you are, you're not. What's left? Find out.
From the Academy Award winner Jane Campion, Top of the Lake.
Whether you like it or not, this is where it all began for you.
You're my seat, girl.
Concludes on Saturday night at 9:10 on BBC Two and BBC Two HD.